what's statistically similar to the two worlds of, say, dating and hiring new employees? Well, maybe to put it another way, what actions, analytically noted and reviewed, can help potential suitors or employers either find their soulmates or their best possible employee from a pool of prospective candidates? The answers on today's podcast episode may just surprise you. I'm your host, Dennis Mansfield. I remember when one of my young single friends told me in 2001 that he was, well, sick and tired of the bar scene, of all the degrading social protocols, miscues, and bummer aftershocks of dating. I asked him, are you giving up? He paused, he looked at me with those still adventurous eyes, and he told me, no, I'm giving in. I remember unintentionally recoiling a bit and then politely probing his answer. Wait, you mean you're swearing off booze and you're headed to some clubs that do mountain biking or riding or cooking? He laughed. Nah, I'm going online to meet women through eHarmony, created by Neil Clark Warren. Huh. Well, you know, I'd heard of Dr. Warren from my years of working in association with Focus on the Family. See, eHarmony was founded by Dr. Warren, who is a clinical psychologist, and he created Neil Clark Warren and Associates as a seminar company in 1995. The company eventually became the dating website eHarmony. The service was financed with a $3 million investment from Fayez Serafim and Company and individual investors. eHarmony was launched in 2000, making it the first algorithm-based dating site. I remember at the time, this is between 2000 and 2010, that there was an incredible amount of members. I think 33, 34 million members that used the service. Now, as of 2008, about 15,000 people were taking the eHarmony questionnaire each day. Harris Interactive said that in 2010, that after finding a match on eHarmony, an average of 542 eHarmony members in the United States married every day. In 2009, eHarmony's cumulative revenue exceeded $1 billion, while their annual revenue was about $250 million. As of 2012, eHarmony had 14% of the U.S. dating service market. Now, having coached many business clients through the years with the DISC behavior assessment, I became aware of the similarities between the questions asked by eHarmony and the results gained by the DISC. And along with that discovery, I also became a fan of Tom Rath's StrengthsFinder, an incredible assessment system set up to aid individuals in their quests to become more familiar with their own behaviors and patterns of life. Today's guest on Just Around the Corner is Mr. Curtis Barrett. Curtis is a businessman and a business coach who uses both the DISC and StrengthsFinder. Welcome to the podcast, Curtis.
Thank you. It's good to be here.
Well, it's great to have you with us today. StrengthsFinder is an amazing system. I'd like you to talk a little bit about that. Tell us what you learned as you dove into that system.
Absolutely. So I became familiar with the StrengthsFinder back when I was just graduated from college. And it was at a time where I was still trying to figure out what it was that made me tick. How did I work? And I was really struggling with the work that I was doing because I was doing a lot of software development at the time. And the projects that I was doing had a lot of just little fixes.
How do you mean little fixes?
It'd be like a little bug that'd take me an hour or two to fix, and then I'd be on to the next bug.
Sure.
And just, it was driving me crazy, and I couldn't figure out why.
When you were in the middle of that, when you said it was driving you crazy, was it just the fact that there were those bugs there, or was it that you were reacting or responding to the fact that there were those bugs there?
It was that there was something missing in the work that I was doing to make it satisfying. And there was just basically, just as I was starting to get involved with the problem was solved. And so there was very little for me to get my teeth sunk into. So for example, for me personally, my strengths are futuristic, input, ideation, strategic, and activator. And to put it simply, futuristic is I envision the future. Input, I absorb knowledge, I absorb information. Strategic is I think in terms of what if. So what if this? Possibilities. What if that? The ideation is I connect ideas together. So when I gather all this information and I've absorbed it, I put it together into almost like a spider web where everything's connected in unique and crazy ways.
You don't do this consciously.
Oh, no. This just happens. This is the subconscious, the way that I tick. And then the activators, I take action on it. So one of the first times I really came to play after I came across the Strengths Finder and learned this about myself, I was given a larger project to work on. And it took me a good 3 months, but it allowed me to start going, okay, what if I did this? What if I did this? What about that?
In fact, from what I'm hearing you say, all of a sudden those things that were just absolutely a part of you became a part of your work, you.
Exactly. And when I realized that, it became clear why the little things weren't working, because there wasn't enough for me to engage in. There wasn't enough of a problem to have to go out and gather more information or to envision what a possible future might look like to solve that problem. And to go, okay, what are the different ideas that I can connect together to make this better? It was just like, oh, yep, go fix this. Oh, go fix that. Go change the styling over here. Go fix this button. Make this work.
And it was like picking up a baseball and throwing it with your right hand. You just did it.
Yeah. And it's just, I was doing the work, but there was no satisfaction to it.
Okay. So let's dig a little deeper on this.
Absolutely.
You know, there are 34 themes for the ideas and actions on StrengthsFinder. Mm-hmm. When you were, you know, saying the handful that you are, how did you determine at that time what, in fact, your strengths were?
Well, that's the beauty of the Strengths Finder, and they have a newer version, which is the Strengths Finder 2.0. Basically, they give you an assessment that you go through and you answer a series of questions, and they were able to use that to determine where you naturally fall. And the thing to know is it's not like you have only five. You actually have all of them. But they only show you your top five because those are the most important ones to focus on.
Those are the ones that you see and that people see about you.
Correct.
Of those 34.
Yep. And everybody has some mix of every other one. But the top five are the ones where you will shine when you can capture that.
When you took it, you bought the book.
Yep.
Strengths Finder 2.0. You then went through the book. And then they had a series of questions that were asked in it?
Yep. It's all online now. So you get a little code in the back of the book and you go on their website and answer the questions.
With that, you know, for those who are listening to the episode today, many, many are out there wondering, well, that's great. I'm glad you discovered yourself. That's great. But I'm still searching for myself. I don't really know what my strengths are. I don't even know where to go for Strengths Finder to find them. And yet, it's really not that hard, is it?
Nope. It's just go to your local bookstore or even go to Amazon and pick up a copy. The thing about finding yourself is StrengthsFinder is not this is who you are and you're locked into it. StrengthsFinder is very much this is a snapshot from one particular viewpoint of who you are. And in a lot of ways, it's like the three blind men and the elephant. One's feeling up an ear, one's feeling up a leg, one's feeling up a tail. It's all one thing, and that's you. StrengthsFinder is one, it's the ear. It's the tail. It's just one aspect of what makes up you.
And I want you to speak to the person that's listening to us right now, who, once he gets that data, how will he or she figure out how to use it?
The best way to do it is as you look at it, figure out what kind of work do you currently do that falls into your gifts, into your strengths. Do more of that. Continue to grow it.
among the assessments that I, as a business coach and an author, enjoy is the DISC assessment, the dominant, intuitive, steady relator, or calculator assessment. It is an assessment not based on what you can be or what you can do, but instead what you do. And as a result of that, the DISC is oftentimes used after an employee is brought into a company. HR brings them in. They look at their past background and they say, oh, this particular individual would work well. Well, what I, as a business coach, oftentimes am asked to do is to come in and start developing a reason why that person isn't working. Or maybe why it's not working about having that person talk with another series of people on the staff. Why are they not getting along? What's the deal? And so from the DISC point of view, the D, of course, is dominant. It's the idea that someone comes in and they're Charles in charge. The I is an intuitive. They're the ones that can almost read what you're thinking. They can hear it. They sense your response. The S is a steady relator, a very loyal person, a person that you can always count on to show up to do the job. The C is the person who's a calculator. They're thinking all the time mathematically, logically, clearly understanding that this makes sense and that does not. Now, we're talking today about the idea of both business and personal relationships. In the business world, Curtis Barrett, you're a businessman and you're a business coach. In that capacity, walk us through how the DISC has helped you with your clients and with the people that you've worked with where you've been the consultant underneath them.
Absolutely. I'd actually like to start with how it's helped me personally. See, when I was growing up, the biggest challenge I faced was I had a condition called Asperger's. And for those not familiar with it, it's basically like having a touch of autism. I had enough to be pretty dysfunctional as a kid, but not enough to be your savant just off there doing nothing but math and nothing but logic. But it always caused me a lot of grief because I never really understood people. Even all throughout college, I only had one person that I felt comfortable enough to let to know me as a friend. Everybody else I kept out at arm's length. And it was really, I felt like I was talking to an alien every time I was talking to somebody because I didn't understand anybody, including myself. And it wasn't until I learned the DISC that I started understanding the pieces of the puzzle that makes up people and the way that people communicate with each other.
When you did that, do you remember the first aha that brought you into the world of saying, wait a minute, there's more to this than just what I thought there was?
Very much so. It was actually, I was hanging out with you one time and you were sharing some stories about Israel and just all of your fun interactions with the Jewish communities over there and haggling. And I realized, you know, there's something to this. There's something more than just an unknown, nebulous, I'm never going to know. And in seeing that, I decided that I wanted to know that more.
And so, you know, while I was telling you those stories about Israel, as I go to the Middle East on a fairly frequent basis, probably once every 2.5-3 years, at that point, something impacted you. What was it?
It was that I wanted what you had. I decided that rather than being a victim and having a disability, I'd rather see if I could learn something that would overcome it. Even if it didn't work out, that was okay. It was going to be a game. I was just going to play it. If it worked, it worked. If it didn't, no harm for playing. But in doing so, I opened a door that eventually led me to meet with multimillionaires around the world and just being able to have conversations. And one of the biggest things I've learned about the DISC is it's every single primary letter here, the D, the I, the S, the C, they all have a slightly different way of communicating. And oftentimes, if you don't understand what the other person's saying and the the behavior pattern that they're saying it from, it's almost like speaking a foreign language. A good example would be like the dominant type and the calculator. The dominants, they talk in to the point, short, brief, get it done type attitude. The calculator...
And we've all met people like that.
Absolutely. The calculator, on the other hand, they are very much about the details. They're very much about the system, get the details right, make sure that everything is in its right place. The dominant, they don't care about if it's right or wrong. They don't care. They just want it to work. And when you put those two people talking about a project, the dominant can say, here's what I want to happen. And the calculator is going to be, well, here's how it's going to have to happen. And they're going into all this minutia. And the dominant's getting frustrated because they're like, I don't care. I just make it work. Good. Yeah, you got the idea. Go for it. I really don't care. I actually had this happen between two people that I ended up mediating between. You had the dominant who was trying to run an event, and the calculator was trying to say, well, here's what we need to have to happen. And he was literally willing to just sign her a blank check if she could fix his problems. But she didn't get it because she was talking to all the problems that needed to be solved, all the things that needed to be addressed. And so it wasn't until I came in and said, okay, and I talked to each of them separately and I went, hey, okay, let me summarize what I'm hearing from you. And he said, yeah, that's exactly it. And I'm, okay, let me go talk with her. And when I talked with her, I'm like, okay, let me, from your perspective, what is it? Okay, this is what you need. This is what the project's boundaries are. Here's what the system is. Okay, good. And then I was able to kind of just go back and forth. It only took me two rounds, and I was able to hash out an agreement between them. She got the money that she wanted and the control that she needed, and he got more or less the results that he was looking for. But he no longer had to fight with her because he was about ready to just walk away, and he would have lost that relationship, and it would have just, you know, it wouldn't have worked.
Curtis, my disc is a high I, mm-hmm. high D, and my StrengthsFinder key points are active, positivity, and communicator. Those are the top three. So together, it says that I'm a fun, strong leader who believes in people and connects them to others.
Absolutely.
Who are you?
I see visions of possibility with people, and I love helping people find that in themselves and bringing out the best that they can be. This world has gotten to the point where everything is all about, you got to do it this way, you got to do it that way. And you look at all of our schools, it's all about, this is the way you learn, this is what you have to memorize, this is what you have to regurgitate. Here's the test you have to take and have to get scores on. But really, everybody has something that makes you unique. You have a gift, and my heart and my passion, where I shine, is I help you find what that is and how to bring that not just to the surface, but to help it shine in whatever way you want it to be. Because the thing is, the sky is the limit. There is nothing that you can't do if you don't want to pursue it.
I traveled often to Israel. You know that, Curtis. You've been with me. You've seen me head off. We've talked about businesses when I've come back. You know, in business in Israel, it's a very interesting way that they do it. They assemble the right team. They do a lot of assessments. They look at behavior patterns. They bring them together. In their incredible book, Startup Nation, authors Dan Senner and Saul Singer make the case that Israel is not just a country, but it's a comprehensive state of mind. It's surrounded by enemies in a constant state of war since its founding and with no natural resources. Israel produces more startup companies than nations like China, Japan, India, Korea, Canada, and the UK. How does the turmoil of chaos lend itself creatively, you know, in a real creative fashion to help reorder and reinvent businesses and life in countries like that?
Well, the truth is the best businesses are born out of pure chaos or nothing. They don't stay that way. But the initial idea is born for just no reason at all. It's there. It's something that captivates the person who creates the business. And they go, well, what if I could do this? And it grips them and they just start going for it. You'll see a lot of businesses fall into the trap of being a derivative. It's like, okay, well, I'm going to just be a lawnmower or I'm going to be a landscaper or whatever. And they fall into the trap of they take a business that's successful and they just copy it. And that's just a
kind of a me too.
There's
a lawn company out there. Me too. I've got a mower. I can do this.
Yep.
Fill in the blank, whatever the industry is.
Yep. But the thing is, Israel has a culture that they instilled in their kids on learning, on growth, and not just that, but also on money. And when it comes to it, they love what they do. They don't have the same stigma that we do when it comes to money. Oftentimes, I mean, especially in the Christian circles, we hear money is the root of all evil. Should be the love of money is the root of all kinds of evil.
Yeah. In fact, that's the actual scripture. That is the actual scripture.
But it's when it comes to chaos, when you have chaotic environments, you have to be creative in the way that you make things work. And so anywhere that you find a lot of chaos, you will find very creative people finding creative ways to fit in. A good example I have is a friend of mine. He ended up moving from California up to Idaho. And he just literally one day up and moved, didn't even tell his company till he reached Boise, found a house, and moved in. And his company was like, well, you're not here. But because there was so much chaos within the company, he just plugged himself into a hole and they couldn't let him go. So then they got to the point where they filled his position and he just found another hole. And he just found all of these gaps and he was able to creatively create his own position. It's very similar to the way that the Israelites or the Jewish community creates businesses.
And I would argue even historically how the Israelites in antiquity did it.
True.
Because it was just an amazing series of business and personal relationships because they had the concept of covenant. They agreed, this is what I'll do, this is what you do. And at the end of the day, if you didn't do it, I had the right to take these animals or take this land or whatever. If you did do it, then we were firm and we understood what we were doing. Yep. Well, when I take people to Israel and I show them the business climate there, they really do stand amazed. Startup Nation is a fantastic book, mm-hmm. and I do highly recommend it to our listeners. Startup Family. Let's talk about that for a second. Curtis, you know, when we move away from the lessons learned in business and we start looking at the idea of, you know, filling the deepest holes of sadness, not just the deepest holes of business, but the deepest holes of sadness and loss due to failed matches or maybe irregular non-relationships that have happened, would it be wise for people who are listening in, who hear about business and they hear about they understand and get the idea of the DISC and StrengthsFinder, to begin looking at the idea of what we began with, which is the eHarmony approach in their lives to online relationships through systematic assessments?
It's always a good thing to both understand yourself and understand the people around you. The better you understand the DISCs, the strengths finders, the things like that, the better you can just meet someone and have that sense of where they're at. And the thing that I found for myself is I've learned not that I don't need to change myself, but what I do is I learn to adapt to you in the way that you perceive me. So, for example, I've got a number of very dominant friends, and they tend to be very blunt, very direct and to the point, and they wear their emotions on the sleeve. It's kind of a funny thing because oftentimes it comes across as anger or impatience, but they're very much wearing their emotions just right there for anybody to see. The thing I've learned about them is I have to take them seriously, but not personally. Because the emotion that they're experiencing, it may be because I triggered something, but it's not about me.
Now, let me ask this. What happens when they trigger something in you?
I take 100% responsibility when I get triggered. And I look at myself and I say, okay, what was it about me that got me upset? I had one business relationship where was working with a partner and I had a task I needed to do and he went out and did it for me. Bugged the heck out of me. And I had to pause and take a look and I came to realize that no, this actually, I mean, he was just trying to solve a problem and he was trying to solve a bigger problem that I didn't see at the time that needed to be taken care of right then and right there. And it was a great thing, and I was very pleased that he did that.
Upon reflection.
But mm-hmm. I had to go, okay, what was it in me that triggered me? Because by taking that responsibility, I take control over my own emotions. And at that point, I'm the one in control, not you.
So you're still single. You've been looking for a young lady for the last few years, and yet you haven't been desperate. You haven't been thinking, I've got to have someone. You're a businessman. You're a business coach.
Yep.
I've known you for many years. And I've seen that the lack of desperation has given you a calm and a peace about the right person at the right time. When you think of assessments and you think of the possibility of this young lady or that young lady entering into your life and you entering into her life, do you have any conflicts personally about the eHarmony idea? Conflicts about the assessment idea?
Oh, no. I love it. Whether it's through eHarmony or whether it's taking the disc and going through it together, it's such a wonderful thing. My own sister, she's gotten to the point where she got a boyfriend just a year ago and got a fiance and...
Is that the same person?
Yes.
Okay. Just want to make sure. I want to keep things.
But in that transition from going from basically being boyfriend, girlfriend into more serious, they took the DISC assessment and they went through and they were able to see how each of them was both the same and different. And having that, it's understanding the language that someone speaks makes all the difference in the world.
You know, this episode is coming to an ending, and I'd like you to summarize the symmetry of businesses that are assembled correctly. You know, their teams are working, and then compare that to men and women looking for just the right fit in life partners. As Jerry Maguire so dramatically said to Dorothy, we live in a cynical world, a cynical, cynical world. And we work in a world of tough competitors. You complete me. He said that to her at the scene. Before that became a meme, that was a very sensitive scene in a very sensitive movie. What about the people in business and in an amorous relationship that have a symmetrical perspective based on assessments?
In the end, whether it's business, whether it's sales, whether it's relationships, they really come down to two key things. First is relationships. And the better that I can communicate with you, not needing you to be able to communicate with me, but the better that I can take the responsibility for the relationship and understand how to communicate with you in a way that meets your needs. The better that business is going to be, the better that relationship is going to be. The second thing is really a common purpose. The reason why I have not chosen to pursue a deeper relationship yet is because I'm looking for somebody who has a similar walk in life as I do. Now, oftentimes with business, the problem is we don't really look at what's the purpose of business. You look at the people that work for McDonald's or work at REI or wherever, and they're just there. They're there to do a job. And the people that are just there to do a job, it's really hard to get excited about that. It's really hard to bring your passion to something that's just a job. It's also very hard to bring your passion to something that's just a relationship if you don't have that common thread, that common element. And the thing is, that common thread and that common element, you can develop that. You can foster that. You can find one little area that if you're currently struggling because you're not connecting, find one little thing you can do together. Spend just a little bit of more time with each other. And focus on getting that quantity to just of time to really develop that relationship.
Well, what an episode today. Who would have thought that we would bring business assessments for employers and employees and romance assessments together in the same show? But we have done that.
That we have.
And in this episode, Curtis Barrett, you've shared some really great and key coaching points. How can our listeners who want to make contact with you be in contact?
Great question. The best way to get in contact with me is with my email, and that's curtis@bountifulendeavors.com. And again, that's curtis@bountifulendeavors.com. And if you go to my website, it's not yet up because I'm actually beginning my own new endeavor. And if you are a business owner that needs a little bit of help, go ahead and give me an email. I am creating a tool for small businesses to be able to see their numbers, to get their hands on it in a way that's both meaningful and helpful, so that you're going to be able to tell from a day to day, from a week to week, and a month to month, how you're doing, what needs tweaking in your business, where's the choke points, where are the places that people are falling off, and where are the places that people are just coming to you in droves.
One more time on your email address.
It's curtis@bountifulendeavors.com.
Curtis, it's an honor to have you with us. Thank you so much.
Thank you. It's been an honor to be here.
Well, I'm Dennis Mansfield, your host for Just Around the Corner. Thanks to Colin Mansfield, Michael Seals, Ken Adams, production work on today's episode, and to Kevin Miller in the Morning for inspiring me always to start this podcast and finish it. Take time to enjoy what's next in your life. Because as John Hay, one of the most famous men in the late 19th and early 20th centuries, once wrote to a friend, all the best gifts are just around the corner.